Hello, everybody. Good to see you. Glad you're here tonight. Just a reminder also before we get started that if you need to hear a class again or something, these are all being recorded, and they're all uploaded onto Winnisquam's sermon audio site. And all you have to do is look. This is the Wednesday night class, so it'll say block W1, you know, class 1, class 2, class 3. So if you ever need any, feel you need any review, you want to do that, feel free. Okay? Let's get started with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for tonight, and thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you so much for your word, and thank you for this opportunity that you give us to be gathered around your word. So I pray that you would just help us and guide us and direct us. And I pray, Lord God, that you teach us so that we can not only live this, but share it with other people. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so 15-ish questions. There's 15 questions, but some of them have more than one answer. So, you know, if you did them, fine. If you didn't, we'll discuss them today. Hopefully at least you looked over them. And, you know, I want to generate some questions. You know, one of the things that is, so important, and we've discussed this already, but one of the things that's so important about these 11 chapters is it's very, very foundational, you know, and foundational to so much of the Bible. You know, how important is a foundation when you build a house, right? You know, if the foundation is not good, the house won't be good. What does the Bible say if the foundations be destroyed, right? You know, so we want to make sure that we have a good understanding about Genesis 1 to 11. Not in your notes, but not in these questions. But what are some of the firsts we learn about from Genesis 1 to 11?
First marriage.
First murder.
First humans,
right? You know how we got here. Yeah.
Sin.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we learn about, you know, creation. We learn about God. God just bursts on the scene. In the beginning, God. Boom. You know, and that tells us a lot about God. The fact that he was here at the beginning. So, of course, we learn more about God as time goes on, but, you know, we learn that he's eternal, but at least from that first verse, he's here. He created. And, you know, he created everything we see. He created man. The first day, right? The evening and the morning were the first day. And, we learned about, in those chapters, we learned about the flood, you know, and we learned, I think the last time we were together, we learned about the table of the nations and kind of how the world scattered. Okay. What did we learn, last week about, one way that we can kind of, fight, but debate against racism? How many races are there?
One.
Human race, right? What do people often say? Oh, the, you know, the African race, this race. You were going to say something, David?
No, I said one.
Oh, one. Okay, right, one. You know, but yet in the one race, there's different what? Cultures, nationalities, you know.
Languages.
So there is differences. I mean, it would be foolish for us to say there is no difference, but we're all human. We look a little different. We talk a little different. We act a little different. We, you know, maybe certain parts of the world, you know, we govern ourselves a little bit different, but we're one race, okay? And that human race, God came to save, okay? Any questions before we get started? Anything that stuck out this week beside the fact that you didn't like some of the questions and, you know? No? Okay. All right. So, number one, when was the universe created? I want the exact day and time. No. When was the universe created?
It felt like such a simple question. I thought I was getting it wrong, that there was like a deeper thing to it.
I was getting a few different answers to it and don't want to go put.
Because initially I felt like in the beginning, but that sounded kind of stupid. So like there must be more.
I mean, that's a very literal one. That, you know, in the beginning it was created, but you know, when was I'm kind of looking. We talked about, you know, we talked about a series of years. So when was the universe created? 6 to 10 is the conservative, you know, 6 to 10,000 years. But what I was really looking for, I mean, that's fine, but really, you know, not billions and billions of years ago, okay? It's, yeah, you could have put, you know, relatively new, you could have put, you know, if, now this is a big if the biblical chronology is pretty much, you know, without break and whatnot, it's 6,000 years old, okay? If there's only certain people told in that chronology, you know, that's why you might get, you hear some people say 6 to 10,000 years ago. But it's definitely not millions or billions of years old. Okay?
I was going to say in 7 days, but I felt like the question wasn't structured enough.
Yeah. Okay? So, you know, approximately 6 to 10, not billions and billions. And it's kind of...
The book mentions 20.
6 to 20, the book says? Okay.
I think in the beginning,
all right. Okay, good.
The old universe theory argues 4.5 billion,
yes.
20
yes.
billion.
Yes,
recent universe.
Isn't that kind of funny? Like 4 to how many billion? You know, it's like
20 billion.
Yeah, 4.5 to 20 billion. Boy, that's a big,
that's
you know.
Huge.
But evolution needs what?
Time. For the mind to grow.
Yep. Okay. How did life come into being according to atheistic materialism? Atheistic materialism.
Well, if there's no God, then it would have had to come from nothing.
Okay.
In the absence of God, there has to be material substance that appears and flourishes from there.
Yep, so everything came from
nothing.
How much? And then what is the event that they point to?
Big Bang.
Okay. So everything came from nothing. Nothing exploded into everything. Yeah. So how much, seriously, how much sense does that make?
Spontaneous combustion.
How much sense does that make?
It's funny that atheists use like scientific reasoning to get to their conclusion, but scientifically it makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Because what do you need to have ignition? You know, to have fire. You need fuel. You need, you know, oxygen. You need, you know, something to... So, for everything to explode... And any explosion that I've ever seen, does order or disorder come from it?
Disorder,
right?
It's chaos.
You know,
Just thinking of 9/11.
Yeah. I mean, I heard somebody, I don't remember who said this, but I might have read it, I might have heard it, but, you know, if we put massive amounts of dynamite in a print shop. Now we're going back, we're dating ourselves, a print shop, right? And that print shop exploded. And out of that explosion, in the air, was this book. And this book landed, and it was a totally alphabetized, bound, Webster's abridged college dictionary. How much sense does that make? And how much more intricacies are in the universe than that? Right? You know, of course the chances of from an explosion in a print shop, a book appearing, you know, it makes no sense. And Matt brought up a good point. You know, Matt said that, you know, they use all kinds of scientific evidence and theory and all this stuff, but right from the start, they're flawed. You know, Big Bang, everything came from nothing. If everything came from nothing, if, don't you think nothing would still be creating something?
Yes, yeah, that makes sense.
Right, doesn't that make sense? If everything came from nothing,
you accept the premise.
Don't you think nothing would still be creating something? Yes, sir.
Whenever people try to tell me there's no God because nothing created God, I ask them, then what created the universe? I've never got a response back.
Okay, atheistic materialism, you know, Big Bang, evolution. What about theistic evolution? Now, what do we see in those two words? Theistic. What does that talk about? God, evolution. You know, okay. So how did life come into being according to theistic evolution?
Darwin evolution.
What?
Darwinism.
Darwinism is the evolution side, but theistic evolution, this is worse than atheistic materialism, okay? Because it's combining God with Darwinianism, okay? So it's saying that God used evolution, okay? So it fell, certain theologians fell for the lie of, you know, the fossil record is billions and billions of years old. And, you know, we came from monkey and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So this is bad because it combines two things that are diametrically opposed from each other. Okay? All right?
Truthfully, I found this very, very confusing, and I read all of those bits and pieces of it over and over again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, but basically, in a nutshell, you know, God used evolution. Okay?
So God created the molecules, and molecules evolved over time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they necessarily would get into the Big Bang type thing, but, you know, so. Andy?
Well, it says that God is limited to the laws of nature. That he can't step outside of that.
Mm.
I mean, that's basically what that
right.
says, isn't it?
Right.
But even the true laws of nature aren't evolution.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, well, that's true too, but that's part of what they, and theistic evolution really has a lot of different tentacles.
Oh, sure. I mean, the gap theory falls under this, you know, and things like that, you know, so. A lot of tentacles, you know. Just like evolution has a lot of tentacles, you know. And, I can't remember when I was a kid. I went to public school. So I don't remember, like, it being called the Big Bang Theory, you know, but I remember the whole little, you know, the whole little fishy, then he decided to walk, and then he, you know, was a monkey, and then he was an ape, and then he was a Cro-Magnon, and all this kind of stuff, and, you know. We used to laugh, our one friend Dimitro Prok, hey, you still look like Cro-Magnon man or whatever, you know, but anyway, you know, but so yes, that's a good point too, a lot of tentacles. Okay, what is dangerous about this? Now I say, this Dan Boyce, theistic evolution is more dangerous than atheistic materialism.
Well, it reduces the size of God.
Okay, reduces God.
His power.
But people who say they believe in God can also embrace evolution, which is so totally wrong.
Right.
They can answer the question,
but it's
like, what if something came, it didn't come from nothing, so they can sort of justify that conclusion.
Okay, all right. I mean, everything did come from nothing, but God... But God, well, no, that's not true. God is not nothing. God is all power. He's life. He's, you know, so. Andy, you were saying?
It still reduces the size of God.
Yeah, it reduces God to needing help. God needed help, you know. God got the ball rolling and, you know, so.
It puts limits on it.
Yep.
And that's not true.
Yep.
You're going to go first.
Oh, you
This is truth with error.
Exactly.
So it's easy to understand if something's completely erroneous,
right.
But when you start confusing people with God plus errors,
right. Then
it really gets...
Now remember what I started out by saying. Genesis 1-11 is foundational, okay? And if you believe in theistic evolution, what has just happened to your foundation? It's become weakened, right? What did Zach, did you say something?
Or? It becomes crumbled.
Crumbled, right? So you're, yeah, good. David?
It's frustrating because evolution, like the subject of evolution, can be a fun subject. Like we know caterpillars turn into butterflies. And so we know to a certain extent evolution is real, but it's like they observe that and they're like, oh, so God decided to use evolution to create this. And ain't nobody can call me a monkey.
Yeah.
But the caterpillar turning into a butterfly is not evolution. That's just process of its life. There's six different kinds of evolution. Microevolution is if you cross a Saint Bernard with a Great Dane, you're going to have a big, tall dog, you know. But that's the only evolution that can be proven, microevolution. Macro and all these other, and what they try to do, well, since this exists, then all the others must exist. No, they don't.
Right.
Yeah.
So
good. So how did life come into being according to creationism? God, basically God spoke, right? Everything into being. What is the only thing in Genesis 1 and 2 that we see God not speaking into existence?
In Genesis 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Heaven and the earth.
No.
Adam.
Right? He took the dirt of the ground, right? And he formed. So, you know, he spoke everything into existence, but he formed man. You know, you can see how he, you know, like the potter, right? And he breathed into him. And then he performed surgery on him, and he took a rib, and he made a loudspeaker, a woman, you know, so, you know, and so, anyway.
That's very interesting, that he, you know, took her and basically molded him in his image.
Mm-hmm.
His man is made in God's image.
Yep.
Makes me think of art class.
Yep. So, basically, creationism takes Genesis 1 and 2 at face value, right? God said it happened, all right? Does faith come into creationism? Do you need faith to believe in creationism? Read Hebrews 11:1 for us. Read Hebrews 11:1-3 for us.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Okay, read verse 3 again.
Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Okay. There was nothing, right, but God. And he spoke, and the worlds were framed. And everything came into existence from things that didn't appear. God, bara, he created the world out of nothing. And we need, what do we need to believe that? Because you can't put it in a laboratory and prove it.
Right, it's not something you can see. What is it? Believing is seeing, or believing is seeing.
Yeah. But no. Yep, and you have to have faith. No one was there. Okay, do you need faith to believe in evolution?
Yes.
I think you need more faith because but of course that's true blind faith. Our faith is not blind. Okay. So any questions on number 2? Clear as mud. Okay. Number 3. How does Genesis 1:1, which says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So how does Genesis 1:1 refute atheism?
I'm gonna tell you the truth.
Huh?
It tells you the truth.
Okay, but God. In particular, what is atheism at its core?
I was just going to say that it states that God was present and active in creation.
Right. Atheism believes there is no God. And in the very, in the fourth word of the Bible is God. Right? In the beginning, God. So, no apologies, and there's presuppositional apologetics here, right? The Bible presumes there's a God. In the beginning, God. Okay? So, there is a God. And in the very first page, in the very first sentence of the Bible, we're introduced to God. Okay? So, atheism, there is a God. In the beginning, God. Is there proof? Is there proof that there is no God?
No.
There's more proof that there is a God than there isn't a God. So, is there proof that there is a God? Excellent.
And our conscience.
Read Romans, Barb, you got your Bible there. Read Romans 1:18-20. So these are good verses for us to remember, not only Genesis 1 and 2, but Hebrews 11 and Romans 1:18-20, in our, apologetics when it comes to, creation. So, is there proof that there is no God? The answer is no. Is there proof that there is a God? And we find that answer in Romans 1:18-20.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Revealed from heaven.
Okay.
Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Okay, man is without excuse because of two things. Okay? Two ways that God reveals himself, two ways that prove the existence of God. Number one is conscience. Okay? You have to be taught to be an atheist. Okay? So, people will come, now this knowledge, remember, this knowledge does not save a soul, but it makes them without excuse. Okay? So conscience, and the second thing is creation, right? And that's what Romans 1:18 talks about. 1:18-20 talks about. That's what Psalm 19, you know, the heavens declare what? The glory of God. So people look around. How'd this all get here? Right? Somebody must have made this. Again. Again, you know, you've heard the silly illustration, but it's a good, a watch requires a watchmaker, right? A watch just didn't get here. And our universe and our bodies are much more complex than a watch. So a universe requires a universe maker. Okay? So there is no proof that there is no God. Turn that question on somebody when they ask you, show me proof for God. And I said, okay, I will, but you show me proof there is no God. You know, right? Oh, well, floods and killing and murder. God always gets blamed for the bad things, you know, so. All right? How does Genesis 1:1 refute evolution? One word in Genesis 1:1 refutes evolution.
God
created.
Created. In the beginning, God. Yes, you could, but God created. Okay? So this refutes evolution. Okay? Polytheism. Polytheism is the belief in many gods. Okay? Greek culture. What nation today is probably the most polytheistic nation in the world? India. Okay? They believe in many gods. Okay? How does Genesis 1:1 refute polytheism?
The word God is singular.
Right. God. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Right? You know, so God, there is only one God. He's the creator. Okay? How about pantheism? Now I don't know how much we discussed this. This might have been more in the back of your book. But pantheism believes that everything is God. Okay?
Mary
Baker Eddy was Christian Science, right? So she was neither Christian nor scientific. So, you know, but, you know, how does Genesis 1:1 refute pantheism, the belief that God is everything?
So, it says God created, and therefore the creation is not God.
Right. He made something, right? Andy, look up Isaiah 45:12. And Zach, would you look up Colossians 1:16-17? Basically, God is separate from his creation. Now, don't mix this up. This is not a theology class, but we're learning this on Sunday night in theology. God is everywhere. He's everywhere present. But God is not everything. Okay? This is not God. Okay? The tree is not God. You are not God. You know? When we die, we don't, you know, New Age thought, we just don't mold into everything and become part of the great cosmos, you know. What was that?
The force.
The force, you know.
Circle.
What was that?
But he controls
everything. He controls everything. That's another, his sovereignty, you know.
So you knew you were going to say that.
And who did I give Psalm 45, Isaiah 45 to? Andy.
Isaiah 45, 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded.
Okay? God commands us, commands the everything. Okay? So he created it with his hands. Colossians 1, 16 and 17.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Okay, so Jesus, in here in particular, God the Son created everything. It was created by him. It was created for him. And he holds everything together. Okay? So he you know, that old Negro spiritual, he's got the whole world in his hand. It's kind of true. You know? So, alright? Any questions on that? On those things? How does Genesis 1-1 refute atheism, evolution, polytheism, and pantheism? Good. What a class. Not a trick question. Are the days of Genesis 1 literal 24-hour days?
Yes.
Okay. And how do we know that from Genesis 1? The evening and the? Were the first day, right? And if we would look up Exodus 20, you know, right there in the context of the Sabbath day, it says that God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Okay? So Exodus 20, a very important chapter. And the normal Hebrew understanding and the normal Hebrew language, it is 24-hour day. Okay? Now, the Jewish people calculate the day a little bit different than us, but it's still 24 hours. Okay? So, and again, this day-age theory kind of goes along with the theistic evolution, right? The days of Genesis 1 were long periods of time. I just saw a joke today. I've heard it before, but the joke was, you know, the guy said to God, you know, God, you're outside of time. A day with you is like 1,000 years, right? Yes. And he said, you know, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, so, you know, a penny to you is like $1,000,000, right? And he said, yeah. So the guy said to God, can I have a penny? And he said, in a day or two. Anyway, that one wasn't that good, but it was, you know. But seriously, all joking aside, God set time into motion. That's the other thing. God set time into motion that first day. The earth started revolving on its axis. And it started its path, you know, not around the sun yet, because the sun wasn't there, right? But he created light first. But you know, he started the earth spinning. So that the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay? And there's another problem if you believe these long periods of time. You know, you have, you know, vegetation without sun and all kinds, there's all kinds of problems with that. So it's best to believe, you know, one of the things we believe as we read our Bible is we take the Bible literally, right? Are there figures of speech in the Bible? Yes. Just, do you use figures of speech when you speak? Sure we do, right? You know, the one that we probably say the most, or you hear me use it, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. You really can't eat a horse. I mean, you can eat horse meat, but you really, you know, actually the best meat I ever ate in my life was in Africa. It was zebra. Zebra. Did you eat zebra at carnivores in Africa? It's the best. I'm telling you it's the best. But anyway, I digress.
Black stripes or black and white stripes?
Well, it depends. So, but anyway, 24 literal hour days. Okay, yes, Matt.
Isn't there a verse that specifically mentions the Sabbath day being sunset to sundown? Or is that kind of inferred?
Well, in maybe you're thinking of our preaching through Mark, right? When they had to get the Jesus off the cross because it was almost sundown and the Sabbath was coming. So the Jewish Sabbath starts sundown Friday to sundown Saturday.
Is there like a verse in the Bible though that kind of justifies their...
The evening and the morning. They base it all from Genesis chapter 1. The day starts for them with the evening.
Okay.
That's
that
what
justifies the 24-hour thing, though. If it's
it still justifies 24 hours, sundown to sundown.
It kind of gives credence to the 6 day.
Right, and our calendar is solar, where their calendar is lunar. Okay, they still come up with a year. It's a little bit shorter. It's 360 days, you know, but they do a lot for somehow a leap year in all that calculation. But Andy, you had your hand up.
Yeah, didn't the Pharisees have a thing about the day started when you could see the third star at night?
I don't know that.
In the evening, you get the third one, and
that's a possibility, Andy. I'm not familiar with that, but yeah. Okay. Did something horrible take place between the first and second verse of Genesis 1?
Doesn't really answer this in the book very well.
Huh? Yeah,
doesn't really answer this one in the book very well.
Well, we talked a little bit about the gap theory, right? You know, the gap theory. And so Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and if you have a Scofield reference Bible, it'll talk about the gap theory, but it says, Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and then verse 2, the earth was without form and void. So gap theory people hold that God created the heaven and the earth, and so there was this creation, and the earth was created, and there was man on the earth, and something horrible went wrong, okay? And then the earth was without form and void. Judgment came. Okay? And this was started by early fundamentalists, unfortunately, because around the same time as Darwinism coming on, and, you know, where these folks felt that they were, wow, the scientific people are saying the earth is millions of years old. How can we justify this? So this terrible event happened, okay? And God destroyed the world and started over again in verse 2. Okay? But what did we say Genesis 1:1 was? Like a summary statement, like a preface to a book, right? A prelude. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here's how he did it. Verse 2 to 31. And what's the other problem? What does verse 31 say? Of Genesis chapter 1.
And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning was the sixth day.
Okay, when God created everything, it was what? It was very good. Would that be very good if there was this whole other, you know, if you have an old Scofield reference Bible at home, read it. You know, read what it says about the gap theory, and it's pretty interesting. I don't know if any more, how many people really hold to that. I don't even know if, I don't have a new Scofield Bible, so I don't even know if it's in the newer Scofield Bible, if they took it out. But, okay? So, anyway. What was God doing before he created man?
Fellowship with the Son.
Okay. The Trinity was enjoying fellowship with one another. Keith, could you read John 17:5 and then skip down to verse 24?
It says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self for the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
Okay, so there was love and fellowship going on. There's lots of other verses that we could look at, but God was planning salvation, right? Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain, what? Before the foundation of the world, right? He was planning the church. He was electing the church. He was, you know, predestining the church to be conformed to the image of his Son. Nothing took God by surprise. Nothing. He had it all worked out. Somebody said this is a great statement. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? You know, what am I going to do now? Nick, you're a builder, right? Sometimes you build things and sometimes, oh man, this is bad. This is wrong. You know, and sometimes you might have to take something apart, right? And start a little over again. Or you go and you start on a project and a reconstruction thing and, wasn't planning on this. That's never happened to God. Never. When Adam and Eve sinned, he didn't go, oh, what am I going to do now? You know, he had it all worked out. God knows so much. He even knows when you and I come to a fork in the road. Number one, he knows the direction we're going to go, but he knows what would have happened if we went that way, whether it's the right way or the wrong way. You know, Jesus said to Chorazin, you know, if the work had been done with you, in you, Bethsaida and Chorazin, Sodom and Gomorrah, if it would have been done in Sodom, they would have repented. So God knows every possible outcome of every situation.
Past, present, and future.
God is not bound by time like we are. God is working in time now, but he's not bound by time. Okay? So, again, and that kind of helps us a little bit, not a lot, but when we step out, we can't step outside of time, but if you understand there was no time, you know, God, you know, the Godhead wasn't one day saying, you know, we've been here for a long time by ourselves. Let's make something. I mean, I am of the persuasion that, you know, God didn't reveal to us that he created other things. So prior to this, so I don't worry about all that. You know, if he did, great, you know, but it doesn't affect me. Doesn't affect us, you know. I don't believe there's life on other planets because I believe that God's crowning creation, crowning part of his creation was man, and all of this was created, you know, for man to live and enjoy fellowship with God. So
I just remember talking with Andrew about this years ago at this point, I guess. but he was talking about how the God's love is so overflowing, and that's really kind of gives an answer to the creation side of things, that his love is ever-bounding, that's why he created the man and created everything.
Yep.
And once he explained that, it actually kind of helped me kind of understand a little bit.
Amen. Amen. Good. 7, how is man made in the image of God according to 1 Thessalonians 5:20? 23. Body, soul, and spirit, which talks about a triunity, trinity, right? We are one man, but that one man is made of body, soul, and spirit, okay? According to Genesis 3:22, how is man made in the image of God?
It's
the
us word.
So. The us, yes, but what did God say there in Genesis 3:22? Man now knows good and evil. So what does that have to do with the image of God?
God knows both as well.
Okay, God knows both, but it has to do with our thought and reason, right? You can reason what is good, what
flesh
is evil. What was that?
Flesh and spirit.
It goes along with that, you know, but it has to do with, you know, thought, reason. We know good and evil. I mean, I don't know why we want to know evil, but now we do, right? Adam didn't know evil prior to the fall. There was no evil.
But he did know reason.
He had reason, yes. He had reason, but you know, now a whole nother
level
is brought in. Did I write that in my Bible? Sometimes I write quotes that I hear in my Bible. Sometimes I don't.
There was evil before the law.
There.
Because Satan is on it.
Well, there was evil before the fall of man. There was no evil before the fall of Satan.
Right.
So however long of time between Satan's fall and man's fall, yes, evil was in the universe, but evil didn't come to the earth until Adam fell. You know what I'm saying? Evil didn't come to man's experience until Adam fell. You know, I think we asked a question, you know, how long were Adam and Eve in the garden? How long was it between the fall of Satan and him? You know, the end of the creation week, Genesis 1:31. Everything was very good. Satan's falling would not have been very good. So somewhere between chapter 1 and chapter 3, Satan falls, rebels, and falls.
I think the book mentions chapter 3.
And then, of course, you know, all right, good. 1 John 3:2. How is man made in the image of God?
We have his sons in him.
Yes, keep it going. What does 1 John 3:2 talk about?
We're made like the sons
of God. Right. What, when he comes, we're going to what?
Be
like him. Because we're going to see him as he is, right? What is it, another Bible verse say?
Well, wouldn't that be Jesus died and went up? And we're going to do that as well, so that's cool.
Well, what it's talking about there in particular is his glorified body, right? When Jesus comes the second time, he's coming in his glorified body. Since Resurrection Sunday, Jesus has occupied his glorified body. And right now, you and I are saved. Our immaterial part of our body is saved. Okay? We are awaiting our physical body to be saved. Right? Because what's going to happen if the rapture happens today? We're going to get a new body, just like that. But what happens if the rapture doesn't happen for 50 years? Probably most of us will be dead. Right? So our body will decay. We will get our future body, like it will see him as he is, right? So, you know, could the image of God be, you know, what God, a body thou hast prepared for me, the psalm says, and could it be this glorified body, you know, so, you know,
what's
that we have.
Is, though, doesn't Jesus still have the whole?
Jesus does. His wounds are glorified to remind, and you know, we have the text at the end of John where he says to Thomas, reach your hands in. You know, so I don't think Jesus is any longer gory, but I think he has those wounds to remind us
scars.
Of and those scars to remind us, you know, that you know what it took to purchase us, Andy.
They're never called scars, though. They're always called
wounds. Wounds. Yeah. So, yes, Barb.
Is it fair to say that our human forms are a preparation for what we will be?
I think so, and you know, a lot of people take it extremely literal. Okay. Some people, I believe, take it a little, and I just told you to take the Bible literally, but Jesus was 33 and a half years old, so we're going to be 33 and a half years old, you know? I don't think we'll be 33 and a half years old, but we'll be vibrant. Little babies that die aren't going to stay babies in heaven, right? There's not going to be a nursery in heaven, you know? 110-year-old bent-over people who die aren't going to be 110-year-old bent-over people, you know. We'll be like Jesus. Does that mean we'll be 33 and a half years? I don't know, you know, but we'll be like him. And I think what that means is we'll be glorified, right? And, you know, so we'll be like him. And we're not going to be, there's no more what? Pain, tears, any of that stuff, right? Okay, good. How long were Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden?
Less than 9 months.
I think that's probably the best answer. Not long, less than 9 months. Because what happened in chapter 4, verse 1? Adam. No, he doesn't say less than 9 months. But what takes 9 months to happen? Right.
But she didn't conceive until after they were out of the garden.
Right, but if God gave the command to be fruitful and multiply, don't you think they would have started to be?
Yeah, but you're just guessing. Yeah.
I know. We're guessing. No, there is no real. You know, we can't say that. I mean, my personal opinion is it wasn't that long, but she wasn't. She didn't have offspring, right? So, you know, whether they were...
It could have been 3 days.
Could have been. I mean...
But I put a limit at 9 months because of childbirth.
Yeah. And would not have to assuming she got pregnant right away.
So, yeah. Right. And I think...
So even if that could have been earlier than 9 months. But.
Right.
And if God's creation was perfect, there wouldn't have been a whole lot of hindrances to getting pregnant.
Isn't there a
right?
Isn't there a verse that says Adam knew Eve very well? And some people took that like.
Well, I don't know.
They got into it.
Adam knew Eve, his wife. I mean, verse 4. I'm not familiar with the very.
Yeah.
But knew, you know, that's the King James way of saying that, you know, they were intimate with each other and they. You know.
But they were had from the garden in verse 24 of chapter 3.
If you want to be literal about it.
Eve in verse 1 of
chapter 4. Yeah, so.
That's your point, isn't it?
Yeah, so she conceived after.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah. But more than likely, it wasn't too long because she wasn't pregnant. There were no children. It was only Adam and Eve.
And they were perfect specimens.
Yep. Yeah.
And when I said less than 9 months, I really think it is probably less than 9 days.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. But you're saying she couldn't because there were no other children, so... You know, but that's a good point. The text does say Adam knew his wife, and it doesn't say that if it's chronological, which it probably is. It doesn't say that until afterward. You know, so. But the correct answer is, we don't know. We're not told. That's the correct
answer.
Yes. So, where did Cain get his wife? Okay. Yes. Could it have been another? Could it have been a niece?
Could it have been?
Could have been a niece. We're not told. But more than likely, he married his sister. Right? I mean, that's a lot easier because it says Adam and Eve had what? She's the mother of all living. They had other. We're only told the name of three of their children. And those three children whose names we're told are all what? And if they only had three kids, life on earth would have been very short. Okay? Because no way, you know, there's one of the problems with the gay agenda. There's one of the problems with transgenderism, you know, men have women, babies. No, they don't. But anyway, I'm getting beside myself. So obviously they had other children, right? And whether it was a sister, whether it was a niece, had to marry. But, you know, gene pool was not corrupted by then, you know. But it's a lot easier definition than understand, you know. Like I talked to that one guy that one time. Your thing came out of the, you know, out, decided one day I don't want to breathe water anymore, I'm going to breathe air, and it walked out. Well, there had to be another thing decided that I want to no longer breathe water, but I want to breathe air, I want to get rid of my fins, and I want to grow legs. And this one grew all the female parts, and this one grew all the male parts, and they ran to each other on the beach, and they embraced, and they had a baby. I mean, how do people, you know, male, female, is that how it works?
Some were born with equipment and some were not.
All right.
Also, too, because they lived hundreds and hundreds of years, that, you know, they could have been born 100 years before the potential.
Yeah.
I will never forget when David first got saved and he was learning about all this stuff and how quickly he understood very fast that they had lied to him in school.
Yeah.
Very much.
I have a quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
On Genesis 4:26, it said, "As a death to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
Is that when they started his praying?
Yeah, and that's, you know, the godly Seth line, you know, and we see that separation between Cain's family and Seth's family, if you know what I'm saying. And that's where, leading into the next question, you know, who were the sons of God in Genesis 6:4? You know, some people think the godly line of Seth, men began to call on the name of the Lord. The godly line of Seth married the daughters of Cain, you know. And so you had a godly and ungodly mixture, right? And from that, you know, came men of renown, wicked men. The earth grew so wicked that God destroyed it with a flood, where only eight people lived. Okay? So that's one of the interpretations of Genesis 6:1-4.
Wait, so what's the answer?
The godly line of Seth are the sons of God, and the daughters of men are the ungodly line of Cain.
I had fallen angels.
What's the other interpretation? Fallen angels, right? And in particular, here's where, don't think like angels, because angels are spirit beings, right? So angels can't procreate, so these angels somehow had to be, you know, they had to possess man, right? And and wicked, wicked, wicked things happened, right? And, you know, 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude verses 6 to 8, we talked about, you know, the possibility of this interpretation. All right? This means absolutely nothing. But Pastor Dan takes the latter possibility. They were fallen angels who had possessed, you know, because God, the world was so bad that God destroyed millions and millions of people, and only 8 were saved. So, pretty severe, okay? Pretty severe. There's, you know.
I think I agree with that because you know, you look how wicked the world is today, a man, and that's not enough about to do a flood, so it must have been something even worse than that. So,
yeah.
It makes sense that it would have been.
Yeah, well, that's a good question because that's a good follow-up then to this next question. Are we all right with moving on to 11? There's two possibilities, right? You know, or there's a third possibility that we're all wrong. You know, it could be something, but whatever it was not good, right? Because God destroyed the whole world except for Noah. So verse number 11, what was the world like before the flood? What does Genesis 6:5 say? Man saw the wickedness of man, I'm sorry, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Man could do nothing but think evil continually. And what does good question. Read Luke 17, 26 and 27 for us today. Speaking about today, what did Jesus say? Luke 17, 26, 27.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
Okay, so what does Jesus say about the days of Noah and the days of his coming? So what were the days of Noah like when the flood came? Wicked, right? So what is it going to be when Jesus comes? Wicked. But what else does it say? What were they doing?
Living like there's
no thought of judgment.
No thought of
judgment. They're eating, they're drinking, they're getting married, they're going to work, they're doing this, they're doing that. Rain! Noah's been building an ark. Noah, Enoch, Methuselah, all of those we learned, those preachers, right? They're preaching. There's people today preaching, warning people. People are going about. People are in churches. No thought of judgment. And then boom. So, same thing. Okay? Good? Clear?
Yes.
12. What were the dimensions of the ark? Two possible answers for that. You can give it to me in old measurement or new measurement.
350
feet
by
75
feet wide and
45
feet high.
Right. Assuming a cubit is 18 inches. Yeah.
And that's,
you know, but think about that. 400, that's a football field and a half long. 75 foot wide. I remember when I took Genesis and Science in my Bible Institute, he actually had a model of it and, you know, showed the dimensions, you know, the width versus the length and how most ships today are built on that same, you know, percentage of, you know, width versus, if it's too skinny, it flips over, you know. And so, and if you've ever been to the Ark in Kentucky, you know, it's the thing that people, oh, I've never been there, but they just, it's huge, right? How could every animal fit on it? Well, you know, you have to understand, God, you know, Noah didn't bring two Dalmatians and two beagles and two, he brought two dogs, right? And from them came, you know, other, and more than likely, if you're going to repopulate the earth with these animals, you're going to bring young, right? And I think I mentioned that the average, if you take all the animals in the world, the average size of animals in the world is about the size of a lamb. So it's not a sheep, so they're not real big.
Not
so
big. They also said that the cubic feet is the equivalent of 150 boxcars.
Yeah.
Of a train.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's more than sufficient.
Yeah, yeah.
To take care of that.
Yeah.
And that was in the answers in Genesis,
yeah,
at the back.
Yeah.
And there is this one other thing. Now, this is extra. But in 1930, they found what they really believed was the sarcophagus or whatever.
Sarcophagus.
Mm-hmm. Of Noah's wife.
Okay.
And the inside was 15 feet long. they said she was
tall.
Yeah.
15? Yeah, she could dunk a basketball, no problem.
Sure.
Well, so if that's so,
yeah.
Noah was also probably pretty
a big man. Yeah.
And a cubit would have been quite a bit more than 15.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, yeah, we got no way of knowing, but it was big enough. It was big enough, right? And took them 120 years to build it.
Dimensionally, that's big enough to be
big. Yeah.
Was the flood local or worldwide?
Worldwide.
What is the problem if the flood was local, according to Genesis 9-11? Because some people believe it was only a localized flood, okay? So if it was local, what's the problem according to Genesis 9-11? What does Genesis 9-11 say?
Couldn't destroy the earth.
I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be flood to destroy the earth.
So if it was local to Laconia, then God's covenant is only
with Laconia. Well, and the problem is God has lied.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because if it's only a local, how many people have died in localized floods?
A lot.
Right? I mean, remember what happened in India on that Christmas Day? What is that, going back about 10 years ago from the, you know, a lot of people died. Right? So, but God promised he'd never destroy the world again by a flood. So, if it was a localized flood, like some people believe, then God's lying. And if God lies, we have a problem.
Okay. I thought it wouldn't have washed away the evil.
Okay.
All flesh was destroyed.
All flesh.
And evidence of the flood is even on the top of Mount Everest.
Right. Yep. Yep. Why are there salt water lakes on top of some mountains, you know? Why do we find seashells, you know, in mountains? I somewhere packed away in my stuff, I have a rock that I found in the Adirondack Mountains, and it has seashells and fish skeletons in it.
We found the same thing at Mount Everest.
Yep. All right. Who are the descendants of Shem?
Yes. Persians.
Okay. Short answer. Middle Eastern people. Okay? Middle Eastern people. All right? Who are the descendants of Ham?
Ethiopians, Egyptians, peoples of Africa.
Okay, Africa and Asians, short answer. Okay. Who are the descendants of Japheth?
Europeans.
Europeans. Okay. You can, you know, say early Americans. You know, you can't necessarily say America anymore because we have people coming from everywhere, but, you know, but Canada and...
original to America.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
All right. So basically, Middle Eastern people, in short, Shem, Arabs and Jews, Ham, the African and Asian people, Japheth, the people that went up north, Europeans, you know, Russians, Italians. And remember, we looked at Acts and we saw every one of those people groups, the gospel being preached specifically to them. Okay? All right? Last question. What happened to at the Tower of Babel? What did God command, first off?
Spread out, replenish.
Right. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Go. Right? But what was man doing? Right. They were multiplying, but they weren't separating. And they were congregating, and they were building. What were they building?
A city and a tower.
And what was the tower intended to do?
The gate of God. That's what you said.
Right. They wanted to go where? To heaven. You know, this is kind of like a form of early man-made religion, right? Let's get to heaven without God. You know, they realized God was not with them. There's another good proof of God is not part of his creation. You know, let's build a tower that reaches to heaven. We don't need God. We'll get to heaven on our own. So what did God do? Two things God did. Well, the first thing he did resulted in something. So what did he do? Confuse their language, which resulted them in
moving.
Right? You know, you try to find people you can understand, and those people congregated, and I don't know what they're saying. Let's get away from them. You know, what happened? You know, and they went. Okay? So, I hope that, you know, this was helpful. I hope that it, you know, the review helps us understand this. These are important chapters, friends, you know, very important chapters. Again, just a way of review, how much of world history do they cover? Approximately a third, 2,000 years, if the earth is 6,000 years old, right? So a third. Okay? So, next week, okay, turn page 16. We're going to start on page 16, introduction to the patriarchal stage. We're going to start learning about Abraham and read all the way to page 20 and stop at CL down there, his circumcision. See where it says his circumcision? On page 20.
Yep.
Stop there. Okay? Yeah.
So start on page 16.
Start on page 16 in the beginning and go down to there. Okay? Questions, thoughts, comments before we get, before we dismiss? Any last minute,
I appreciate learning about Genesis again. You know, you never can really learn it all. And it's like when you go bowling and there's the bumpers to keep your ball from going off the track. God put so much information that people really have to work hard to get around it, and they do it.
Yeah.
They do it. But he has everything covered. Yeah. From that verse 31 that says everything was good.
Yeah.
The very first verse, and it's just like, how did we manage to get so confused?
Yeah. And things will slow down now, because now we follow a man and then his family, so things do slow down now, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph, you know, and then Moses, and, you know, so. Good?
That's a quick side note, not very biblical, but the biggest cruise ship now is 1,200 feet long by 215 feet wide by 240 feet tall.
Wow.
It's about three times all the dimensions of Noah's Ark.
But still the same, but still the same proportion.
Yes.
Right,
proportions
right.
are the same.
Right. Yeah.
I heard about a cruise ship that has like 7 or 8 floors now.
20 floors.
Yeah, 20. I know it had a lot of floors. I couldn't remember how many.
They. Yeah, some of the Navy. I think the biggest Navy ships are actually the flat tops, the aircraft carrier. You know, they have thousands and thousands of sailors living on.
So
that,
really, it's
you know,
always
so.
The same.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else? We good? All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for tonight and. And Lord, as we review these important chapters again, Father, help us to not get lost in some of the things that really don't matter, like how long were Adam and Eve in the garden, but help us to understand the real meat of these chapters and understanding, Lord, that you did create everything in six literal 24-hour days And sadly, Lord, sin came into the world when Adam and Eve sinned. But Lord, you saved Adam and Eve. And Lord, we see that sin passed on from father to son. And then we see, there were righteous people, not many, but there were righteous people. And you, Lord, know how to deliver the righteous out of trouble. And we thank you for that. So help us, Father, to continue to be students of your word, so that we can, number one, meditate upon it, number two, live it, and number three, share it. So we'll thank you. We ask your blessing as we depart. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, folks.